I'm trying to think. I was in Santa Monica City College, my first, really first state, because even when I went to my prom, there were three of us that went together. Oh, I mean, three girls with our dates, so.
You said that you became sick, and that was when you quit. Douglas, I'm wondering what kind of a process you had to go through to leave.
You had to get, what do you call it, like a release or something you had to, something you had to get in order to leave the job. The doctor had to sign it and it had to be okay. It was really a mess trying to leave a job. Mm-hmm. And because, well, see, the doctor hospitalized me just to have a tonsillectomy. And I was in the hospital for three days. And then he told me I had to stay in bed 10 days after I came home. Mm-hmm. And that's ridiculous for a tonsillectomy. But that's what I had to do. And maybe I was run down some, I don't know what else was wrong with me, but that was basically, but I know I did, I was in the hospital, I know I did hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. And that was another reason that he said I had to be hospitalized. And everybody else that I knew, they just went to the, I guess what you call it, in the doctor's office, a little mm-hmm. surgery, the tonsillectomy, they observed them for about a half an hour, and then they went home. Mm-hmm. Not me. Right into Santa Monica Hospital. And I had to pay for that. I was so angry. I didn't even start my school money.
Oh, dear.
Because I decided, well, since I had to do that, I wouldn't ask my mother to do it. Because I had saved up the money, I'd just go ahead and pay for it myself. Mm-hmm. Even though I was still home, she said she would do it too. But I said, no, I'll do it. I have some money.
Were you able to collect unemployment after?
I never tried. I don't know why. It never crossed my mind to even try. Mm-hmm. I probably could have.
What were your thoughts about what you were going to do after you recovered? I mean, when you quit Douglas, did you say, okay, this is it, I'm not going back there again?
No, not really. I kind of halfway wanted to go, and then the other half of me didn't. I wanted to do something else. And another thing, I decided I wanted to do something where I wouldn't get quite so dirty. And my hands looked awful, no fingernails. And, I think that half of me wanted Douglas because it was fairly close to home and I wouldn't have to go so far. And the other half wanted to do something that where I wouldn't get quite so dirty, and you could dress up. So that's when I started working the Registrar of Voters. I think that's where I went, the Registrar of Voters. I'm not sure. I either went there or to the Port of Embarkation. I can't remember which came first.
And what kind of work did you do then after?
After then?
Well, after when you went at the recorder's office and the
I got married. I mean, I was married, and then I went to South Carolina, then I went to Ohio, and then finally I came back to California, finished school, and started teaching. I didn't do too much in between. I did work at the Veterans Administration for a while in auditing and accounting. Mm-hmm. And but then when I got through, you know, and got my teaching credential, I just went and started teaching. And I did that for 28 years. From first grade through the sixth, the regular grades, primary, intermediate, and upper EMR, one, social adjustment, And I kind of substituted when we couldn't get subs at the school, in the preschool and the kindergarten. That was after I, you know, was in the math lab and taught only mathematics. And I, when we couldn't get subs, I closed the lab. Between the reading teacher and I, we would have to sub. And I think I like fifth grade better than any grade level.
Why is that?
I don't know. The kids are not so babyish anymore. They seem to be more eager to learn, and you can, to me, I could see their growth more in the fifth grade than any other grade level. The sixth grade seemed like they were kind of standing still and trying to be grown to get to junior high school and not really accomplishing a great deal. But their academic growth, I could see it in their fifth grade, from the beginning fifth grade through to the end. It just seemed like they just learned so much and just grew so. And I really didn't like kindergarten. Even just subbing one day every once in a while. No, the little tiny ones, uh-uh. Fifth grade was my favorite.
Where did you teach?
Los Angeles. And I also enjoyed the math. Because I worked with all the grades then, from the first three to six. And I also worked a part of the time with gifted. I worked with some gifted children. The state's getting out. Kevin gets in.
I'd like to go back and ask you about your wedding. And if you could describe that for me.
I just got married at home. I decided first we were going to just go to the city hall. And then after I got there, we got the license, I got to think, I said, my mother would be so disappointed, my grandmother will have a fit. So I said, okay, let's go home. So we went home, and I called the minister of the church and asked him if he could perform the ceremony. And he said yes, but he couldn't do it until Sunday, and this was Friday. So I said, well, all right, we'll just have to wait until Sunday. Then he said, no. He says, I can do it Saturday. I think we got married on Saturday. I'm not sure. And home, and one of my girlfriends is an excellent pianist. So she came, and she was playing the piano during the ceremony. And, well, my mother was glad that I came home. But I decided I was not having a church wedding. My sister had one of the big church weddings. That wasn't for me. Because I didn't know it was going to last anyway. And, but, I think I got married at home.
What were your expectations about being married? You had said that you never thought about getting married, and I'm wondering, as you're getting married, what you think what's ahead of you?
Well, I knew that this love, honor, and obey wasn't going to work. As long as it was love and honor, fine, but not the obey. Mm-hmm. And I refused to agree to that, and I asked him to get no obey in there, period. And I think it's ridiculous to have that in the ceremony anyway. Two adults, you're going to obey someone? I knew that I wasn't much of a housekeeper. And I knew I wasn't going to really do it. I mean, I felt within myself, you're not going to do this anymore. I would rather be out working. And as long as that was agreeable with him, I think we would get along fine. But I wasn't sure whether he would agree to it indefinitely. See, you know, that was weird, by the way. And I don't know. I guess that's just about all I thought about it. And I still do not believe in this, what they call undying love. No way. Mm-hmm. And I still like to have my way. And that was another thing that was kind of... I want my way. My way is the right way, and that is the only way. And my mother knew that, and my grandmother knew that, and they weren't quite sure whether anybody else would accept it. They have done it all my life. So, but your parents and your brother and sister, they will accept you when someone else won't. But he knew me anyway, because I met him when I was in fifth grade, so he knew what I was like. So I came as no surprise under that part to him anyway. And I just plain had the grass, because we got along beautifully.
You moved away from California right away?
About 2 weeks after I married, I went to South Carolina. It was a great station then. When he was being transferred, first he went to Florida and then back up to Ohio. So I came back to California and stayed until he was permanently transferred to Ohio. Then I went to Ohio. And that was only about a couple of months. So. Mm-hmm. And then we were buying our home there in Ohio. And but I sold it after we decided I'd come back to California. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to stay in Ohio any longer.
Was there much social life with the other? Was he with the squadron that traveled together?
He was
together?
With the
99th. Yeah, when they traveled together.
Mm-hmm. He was a colonel then, General B.O. Davis. He was head of Lockburn at that time. And they had what they called the Officers' Wives Club, which I refused to join. And they had come, to the house to invite me. And I wouldn't let them in. I put my foot against the door like that and held the door so they couldn't even get into the house. And I told them that as far as I could see, they were doing nothing constructive. Therefore, I saw no reason to join. And anyway, I preferred the NCO club and the NCO for life. And what did I say that for? Oh, boy, they almost, they're one of those numbers. I did. I preferred going to the NCO club, and I'd go there. And they'd ask me who my husband was, and I said, oh, that Private Nelson, Oh, yeah, well, I know him. Okay. And I went with the non-commissioned officers' wives, and I visited them, those that lived on the base. I said base. I would visit them before I would visit the officers' wives that on the base. And, I felt that they were doing a little bit more, because they were really working to help the people in the community where they were living. They also worked with the children. They did more of the officers' wives. They were was up there, and all they wanted was play cards, have their little teas and their little luncheons and stuff, and keep everybody else out. And a person is a human being, regardless. And I felt that those other NCO wives were just as good as the officers' wives, and that they should work together. They didn't want to do it, so I went and did that. And of course, when I went over to the officers' club, a couple of them would say a few things to me, but me with my sharp tongue, it didn't bother me, and I just let them have it. And so they said it just didn't bother me anymore. But once I did go with an NCO's wife, and that was ridiculous, because he at one time was an officer, and they started cutting them out of his service, and he re-enlisted, and he was a master sergeant, and he was a pilot at one time, and then when he came back, went as the master sergeant, and I went with his wife to the base, and I was asked out of one of the officers' houses, because I was with a non-com's wife.
Now, when were your children born?
The first one in 1946, I think. There'll be 34. Yeah. And it's 13 years later.
From your second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about being pregnant that first time?
Well, I thought it was ridiculous to have to wait so long. And I was rather pleased about it. I just wish that it didn't take quite so long. But I only gained 18 pounds. Mm-hmm. And never had to wear maternity dress. Oh, but not for the second. I gained 63 pounds. And I was really hoping for twins. I said, so I had two twins and both at the same time. That's all I wanted was two. Well, I got my wish for two, but I didn't get them both at the same time. I enjoyed the kids. I didn't, stay with them as much when they were little, because I worked. I went to work, but my mother kept me. Yeah. So I paid her rather than having to get another babysitter.
How old was your oldest son when you moved back to California? Three.
Well, I'm not quite three because I came, he was three in August, I think I came in May or June, but almost three. Mm-hmm. And
when you moved back to California, did you, where did you live?
Well, I shipped all of my furniture back here, and after I got back here, I decided, well, since I wasn't working when I first came back, I didn't have a job, so I'll live with my mother. So I lived with my mother, and I gave all my furniture away. After shipping it back here, I gave it away. I kept, not all of it, I kept a twin bed set, and I kept one twin bed set, and I moved that into my mother's house and moved. So Ronnie would have a bed and I would have a bed. And moved her furniture out and gave hers away. I gave my mother's furniture away and gave hers away. And I stayed there until I got a job. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job and then I decided I was going to get in my own house, which I did. And then I met Charlie. When he found out I had a job, he started thinking of places to go where we could take him. He said, you know, stop thinking. And he would, every time that he would come to me, well, we can go such and such a place because they have such and such a thing for Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice. We finally decided he wanted to marry me. That's what we did. But I kept on working. I wouldn't stop.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you was, when your husband was killed, your first husband was killed, what kind of support did you get from the Army? I don't mean just financial support. I mean what?
Well,
what did they?
Well,
did you feel?
I was at home. The base chaplain came to the house, mm-hmm. and then he asked me if there was anyone that I wanted to reach any of my family. I told him no. No. You know, it hadn't hit me then. And so a little bit later, a couple of my friends, I came over, and both of them were enlisted men's wives. And then some of the officers and their wives came by, and I told them that I was perfectly all right. I didn't need, you know, anyone there, and go, and I just kept these two friends in. And they were the ones that finally convinced me that I should call California and let them know. And so I did. But everybody, you know, all of the people there on the base, all of those officers and friends, they, you know, they had quarters on the base, the BOQ. And they got all of his things together, you know, and he brought them. And they were the ones that took care of getting the furniture together, you know, shifting all that, packing and crating and everything. Well, they did all of that. I didn't do anything except take myself to the train and get on it. No way in the world would I fly. And they had the services there in Ohio at the base. And as a matter of fact, well, I didn't pay anything. And I had the body shipped here, and the Army, or Air Force, whatever it is, the Armed Forces, put it that way, paid for the shipping of the body here, because he had always said that he wanted to be buried in God's country, and California was where he wanted to be buried, so I shipped the body here. And his mother wanted services here, and I told her I didn't think it was necessary, because they'd already had the services. And and she said, all right, but what about his friends here? I said, well, they can go if they wish to view the body to the mortuary, and they can do that there if they want to. And guess what? She had the services at the mortuary. She did it. And it was packed. I didn't go, but his sister told me he was packed, and he made the. And that's what I had to pay for. Mm-hmm. I paid for the extra services. Mm-hmm. Even though I had it with me to it. Mm-hmm. But that was one time that it was nice that someone else was able to take over, you know, and do everything, because I would not have known what to do the first thing. And on those guys out there in that 99th, the whole squadron, well, as a matter of fact, the whole 332nd fighter, the group, the bombers and the fighter pilots, they all got together. They were really terrific. And they called him Lord Beaverbrook. I don't know where that came from, but that was the name they had for him. And I've run into a few of them, you know, since then. And the 99th had their reunion in Atlanta this year. But
did you stay in contact with any of your women friends?
A couple of them are out here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then one is in Virginia. Her home is Newport News, Virginia, but she's not there. She's right out of Washington, D.C., not too far out of Washington, D.C., and I can't even think of the name of the place now. Isn't that awful? It's hidden. And one of them is, well, there are three really here. One is Ronnie's godmother, but I, you know, really hadn't considered her as part, because she wasn't in Ohio at the time I was there. Her husband was before Wardell came through, and he had left. But Lulu and Janet are here in California. And then my my cousin is applying for the Border Patrol out of Tucson.
Oh.